The next morning, Frank put Wolf's bedding on the front porch and told the animal to stay. The dog lay down and looked at him.
I'll be back. Count on it. If I decide to leave for good, you'll go with me, all right? I'll take that as a yes.
Frank rode off to the mining camp. The new town, as yet unnamed, was crowded with men seeking their fortune. A few wore pistols. Most did not. Frank did not see anyone who looked or dressed like a gunfighter or trouble hunter. But they would come, he was sure of that. He went to the same general store he had stopped at the day before and bought enough supplies to last him for a week or so. Then he walked over to the land office and filed on his land.
You sure filed on a lot of land. You find something way out there, mister?
No, and I'm not looking. It's quiet out there. That's the way I like it.
The clerk looked down at the name, then blinked and looked again.
Are you really?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome to Gold Camp, Mr. Morgan.
Gold Camp?
That's what some folks has taken to calling this place.
As good as any name, I suppose.
Frank looked at the papers he'd just signed.
Is that it?
That's it, Mr. Morgan. You now own, if you prove it up and keep your taxes paid, 160 acres of the most worthless land in this territory.
Priceless to me.
You planning on doing some panning?
No, I just want to live quietly.
Ah, good luck.
Frank left the land office and walked over to the nearest cafe for an early lunch. It wasn't very good. Then he decided to walk around the fast-growing town and get a feel for his surroundings. He hadn't walked 50 yards before he spotted Conrad Browning walking up the newly laid and rough boardwalk on the other side of the street. Frank quickly stepped into a saloon and stood on one side of the bat wings watching his son. Conrad had two men with him, one in front, one in the rear. Bodyguards, obviously. Very capable-looking men, but judging by their dress, not Western men. Conrad walked on up the street and out of sight. Frank turned around, walking to the long bar. He really didn't want a drink, but to fit in with the already crowded bar, he ordered a beer. Frank sipped his flat beer and listened to the talk all around him. So far, no one had recognized him or pointed him out, but that was just a matter of time. The man at the land office would spread the word. Sipping his beer, Frank thought about making this his permanent home. If he was going to do that, and he was determined to do it, he'd better get busy building a small barn or adding on to the lean-to, installing windows in the cabin, and building a fence around it. Frank set his beer mug down on the bar. He'd start with that right now. Back on the street, Frank stopped to ask questions of a crew working on a permanent structure on the main street.
Where'd you boys get the lumber and nails and such?
One of the men pointed up the long and busy street.
See that fella yonder in the lead freight wagon? Just stopping in front of the Lucky Load Saloon? That's Wally Spaulding. He runs a sawmill and freight service. He'll fix you right up for a price. And he ain't cheap.
Thanks.
Frank arranged with Wally for several loads of lumber to be delivered to his cabin. Wally said he had it in stock and would deliver it to his place the next day along with nails and such. Frank started to pay the man on the spot. Wally smiled and held up a hand.
Oh, I know who you are, Morgan. I recognized you right off. Your word is good with me. Let's see, you're gonna need a hammer and saw and file and everything else, I reckon. I'll bring it and you can pick it out.
Thanks. I'll see you tomorrow.
Frank walked over to the general store and did some more shopping. His pack horse was loaded down with supplies when he rode out of town. Wolf was so excited to see Frank, he almost spooked the horses with his barking and racing around the yard when Frank rode up to the side of the cabin.
Easy there, Wolf. No need to get excited. I told you I'd be back.
Frank got the horses in the lean-to, then began carrying his supplies into the cabin and putting them away.
Shelves. Have to build some shelves, too.
He looked around the cabin.
And have some lady in town fix me up curtains. After I replace the glass, that is.
Frank built a fire in the cook stove, fixed a pot of coffee, had a couple of cups and a smoke, then started toting in water to heat. He carefully scrubbed and washed all the bedding he'd bought from the mover and hung it out to dry, Although as cool as it was, the bedding would probably take a full 24 hours to dry. Then he heated more water and washed all the dishes he bought.
Damn, a lot of housework.
Frank sat down to have another cup of coffee. He pulled off his boots and found his moccasins.
Who says women don't work around the home?
Before he pulled on the soft moccasins, he noticed his big toe sticking out of a hole in his sock.
Oh, something else to repair.
Then he remembered he didn't have any needles or thread.
Or throw them away and buy new ones.
That reminded him he better write a letter to his lawyers to see how much money he earned from his shares in the Henson Company and how much he had left. He'd do that right now and ride into the mining camp after his lumber was delivered and post the letter. Then he remembered he had no paper or pen or ink.
Damn, something else to buy.
Wolf left his place under the bunk and came to Frank's side by the chair. Frank petted the animal.
Lots of things to do, boy. What the hell? I got nothing but time.
Frank stood up and took off his shirt, removing the money belt he wore around his waist. He knew he had ample funds, but the belt was uncomfortable, chafing him. He spent the next hour carefully digging out a rock on the outside far left of the stone fireplace, close to the floor. He hid much of his money there and replaced the rock. The cabin could burn down and his money would be safe, he hoped. There was no bank as yet in the town called Gold Camp, but Frank knew if the town lasted for any length of time, someone like Wells Fargo would come in with some kind of banking institution or repository. The shadows were deepening around the cabin when Frank finally called it quits for the day and started thinking about supper for himself and Wolf. He put some beans on, sliced bacon, and made ready to fix some pan bread. Then he lit the lamps and filled the cabin with welcome light. While supper was cooking, Frank found the book he bought in town and read for a time. It was a small book of poetry by Robert Browning.
I give the fight up. Let there be an end. A privacy, an obscure nook for me. I want to be forgotten, even by God.
Frank closed the volume and sat for a time.
Yeah.
He rose from the chair, walking to the stove to turn the thick sliced bacon.
That's me. I give up the fight. The Pine and Van Bergen gangs can go their own way, as long as they leave me alone.
He knew all along Vivian would not want him to risk his life for her memory. And if Conrad were touched by all this, the thought jumped into his brain.
He's a grown man running a multi-million-dollar company. He can afford to hire an army to fight his battles. Besides, he doesn't want anything to do with me. He made that clear enough several months ago. No, he's got to learn to stand on his own, especially if he wants to make it out here in the West. Folks out here still demand a man saddle his own horse and stomp on his own snakes.
He stirred the beans and added some sliced onions to the pot for flavor.
Won't be long, boy. It ain't much, but I'm sure gonna share. 50-50, Wolf. Gotta put some weight on you. You're plumb skinny. I figure another 10 pounds, you'll be about right.
Frank and Wolf ate supper, and Frank put Wolf outside to do his business. Night turned much colder, and Frank built a fire in the fireplace, letting the fire in the stove slowly die out. There would be a blanket of frost on the ground come morning. Wolf went immediately to his bed, curled up, and went to sleep.
I won't be far behind you, boy.
Frank checked on the horses, did a quick walk around of his place, and then turned in. Tomorrow was going to be a busy day for sure. Frank slept deep and dreamless, rising about 4 o'clock. It was sure enough cold. He quick-stepped to the privy and back, shivering both ways. He made coffee and fixed some bacon and bread, then sat in front of the fireplace until the chill left his bones.